right, guys, the next topic I want to get into is just basically 2022. You know, I just want to get a reflection on the year. Maybe get, you know, up to five kind of noteworthy points, good or bad, from you, you know, on the year. And, you know, your general feeling on it from the kind of gaming and technology perspective. Al, I'm going to start with you.
Hmm. Ooh. 22. Feels like ages ago now already. God, it wasn't much in the gaming space, I think. I mean, obviously, it was all Elden Ring, I think, last year. There was the odd bit here and there, but yeah, and obviously God of War towards the end. But the rest of it was pretty lackluster, right? I think we had a few things at the beginning. We had, there was probably a good revival of Cyberpunk, but
Well, and it's also whatever that you feel kind of, you know, basically it was noteworthy for you personally, not just in maybe in mainstream press.
I mean, I kept going down deeper into the mobile gaming hole and stuff like that. We had
the rabbit hole.
We obviously had a good go at Diablo Immortal and stuff as well. So that is interesting. So yeah, gaming wise, there wasn't a huge amount. I think technology-wise, I think there's some interesting stuff. I think, again, with things more recently around ChatGPT and AI is interesting. It's a strange year. And obviously, from a personal perspective, I did stuff like changing jobs. You know, so that was quite a significant shift for myself, but I feel all the better for it. Yeah, indeed. You guys have noticed the difference. So it's like, yeah, it's been an interesting year. I think definitely I've played a lot less, it's probably just all on my mobile, to be honest. There's probably a hell of a lot of my hours are now on mobile rather than on PC games. I think in reflection, it was okay, but it wasn't exactly a huge year for gaming and tech.
Yeah, and for me, I've had a bit of a positive midlife crisis going on outside of gaming, where I've, you know, my habits are changing and my interests are changing, and it's kind of crossed over to gaming. I would say in 2022, I've spent a lot of time looking at gaming news and understanding what's happening with gaming companies, and we spoke about what's happening with Xbox, the you know, wheels falling off in my view, and I didn't really play that much in anything new, I would say, in 2022. I started to chip away at some of my backlog, although I didn't get as far as I wanted to. I've had a whole bunch of games I've just deleted because I was just thinking they've been sitting on my dashboard on my PS5, and I'm just not going to play them, so I've just got rid of those. I've also gone down the rabbit hole with fighting games. I've bought about five mainstream fighting games, got an arcade stick, and I've been really watching loads of YouTube videos and understanding the language and the techniques. It's actually really interesting because it's far more deeper than you think. So that's been quite cool. My kids are getting older, so we've been playing a lot of the Switch, particularly with Smash Brothers. Such a great game. That's been feeding into the kind of the fighting game rabbit hole. It's been a weird year. I think other than the Elden Ring and God of War, which I haven't bought yet, there wasn't any games that really pulled me in, and I've just
How about Horizon?
Horizon, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I haven't finished the first one, so I need to get through that. The other thing as well is I've kind of fallen out of love with Destiny. I haven't actually played it for the last two months nearly. I stopped raiding on the Sundays with my raid group because there's not enough content, and I'm at a place where I will see what the next big DLC coming out in February is like. I'm happy if it's not that substantial after the initial hype. I'm happy to just leave that game until the next 2 or 3 years, where Bungie will come out either with a new game or the relaunch of the next saga for Destiny, and jump back in. And then I'll use this coming year to just kind of go through my backlog. But yeah, that's been my 2022, which is sounds like similar to you guys. It's been a bit of a strange one,
yeah,
news and personal habits around gaming.
Yeah, I mean, my one's kind of been similar. I mean, I've not gamed, you know, at all. When I say at all, you know, versus what I usually do this year, one reason or another. And yeah, like yourself, you know, Jay, I've been just a bit more interested in keeping up with the kind of tech and gaming news. So I've kind of plowed a lot of time in just kind of learning, you know, about how things work, spec of tech, you know, tech. And that's kind of, you know, kind of kept me interested, to say. You know, but the moments, I mean, I think Steam Deck coming out, you know, both gave me a good feeling that, okay, portable's not really dead, but I kind of wish Sony would do something. They're clearly not, right? You know? And then I think, like you, I didn't feel there was a glut of games this year. Elden Ring dominated, you know, God of War, Horizon. I was glad that there was a real Gran Turismo sequel. You know, even though they seem to kind of, you know, come in and out with kind of microtransactions.
Yeah.
Saturate the thing on the microtransaction, as it were. I mean, what else? I mean, I think a few notable points are, you know, like, I would say, and this is more of a negative point, you know, I'm just kind of feeling, you know, is the quality of games at launch getting worse?
Oh, it's really bad.
Consistently, you know, consistently, I would say. It's just, it's happening too often for there to be, if you like, no problem, if you know what I mean.
They can get away with it, and it's becoming the norm. If you're not doing it as a publisher, where you come out with a purpose, you come out with a broken game, and then go, oh, we're going to fix it to get the engagement back. And we spoke about this on a podcast last year. It's a proven model that works for the publishers and game developers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a terrible situation, though, isn't it?
It's kind of interesting. And also in the mobile game space, there's a lot of kind of hidden theories that they actually release games broken so that they get that public backlash to then fix it, to then get people to engage in it, and it's like free publicity to them. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Are you really doing that? Like, that seems crazy to me.
You go from villain to hero very rapidly, and, you know, if you think about that, yeah? How many times has that really happened? I mean, I guess there's a difference from a game being absolutely broken, yeah? Versus a game that's, let's say, how can I call this, like, not really feature complete,
yeah,
if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
MVPs that shouldn't be MVPs, if you know what
lacking
I mean.
Lacking features and not optimized. I mean, you see it's in Call of Duty, you got the Pokemon game.
Yeah, I mean, Gotham Knights. I mean, Gotham Knights, they compare that to Arkham Knight, which is a last-gen game. And his Arkham Knight was substantially a better looking game. And it wasn't just frame weight, by the way.
Oh, that is embarrassing, isn't it?
That is very embarrassing. That's obviously a less positive moment. I mean, I've been watching the second coming of the console wars, basically, with great interest. You know, like, obviously there's a Sony versus Microsoft thing going on. That's kind of starting to feel very real. And, you know, like, Sony basically counter-attacking, let's say, Xbox with the power of silence.
just let them destroy themselves, I think.
Just keep quiet. Saying nothing. And I don't know, I mean, I'm not sure that I like that part about Sony, because I find it, frankly, quite boring, but, you know, it is what it is. So, I mean, again, that's a less kind of positive point, but, you know. Other than that, I don't know what I'd really call out. I mean, from a tech perspective, I'm glad from the CPU perspective that Intel at least got two generations of CPU they've managed to release that are comparably doing well. But then, in terms of the GPU market, where it really mattered, right? They just basically poo-pooed their release. That's the only way to call it, right? Poo-pooed it. Not good. So, you know, that's
you at know, least they tried.
Done. At least they tried. Yeah, you know, it's not good enough. Yeah, I don't think there's any other kind of like moments that would call out in 2022. I mean, one thing, good thing is, I'm at least glad for some of these events that people are actually going in person now.
Mm.
So you're seeing crowds back, and you know, events and presentations are in front of actually real people. You know what I mean? You know, remember you used to have to see those ghost crowds. Yeah, in some of these presentations, and you see like one or two kind of like people in the crowd, maybe kind of 10 meters apart, clapping, or what was silhouettes of people that you know they weren't really there. You know, they were definitely not there. Yeah, so I'm glad that's done away with. You know, I'll call all those things out, guys. Anything to kind of wrap up on this section, and you kind of like say, you know, what would you like to see in 2023? More of, less of?
I think some quality games from Xbox and a regular cadence from them. I think more of the same from PlayStation. And hopefully a nice little roadmap of games for their PS VR 2. Just so it can justify people buying that. I think from what we've all been hearing, it's a really good piece of tech. They just need to deliver on the games. And I hope they move away from the kind of the demo type games. I'm trying to integrate it more in, you know, fully features, additional features to the big budget games. Also, I'd like to see Nintendo announce a hardware update to the Nintendo Switch, because it's starting to struggle.
It's probably due one, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I think with, alongside that, a whole fresh, you know, new set of fresh games, and you know, I'm ready for a new Mario. What's going to be announced? I'm looking forward to the new Zelda game, and some of the TV series also from Sony as well. We've got Last of Us coming up on the 16th. They've already mentioned this Gran Turismo movie, I think it is.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's a
movie, yeah. So those are the headlines for me. Oh yeah, and I think for me, the other, continue on with that, going down the fighting game rabbit hole, I'm really keen to watch some of the fighting competitions this year. You know, we've got Combo Breaker and Evo. They're the two kind of big ones that I've been looking at, and maybe even lucky, maybe trying to attend one in the UK, but not as a competitor, but just to watch it,
just to be part of the crowd, get some merch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just be one of the geeks in the crowd.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking. I'm looking forward to seeing PSVR 2 take off. In these games, if we can get a few good games around it, I think it'll be awesome. That might be the reason I get a PS5.
Finally. Price hike, man.
Diablo 4, being hopeful, but you know, we'll cover that as a separate topic. And there seems to be quite a good lineup of games kind of coming up into 23. Just hope they don't slip. Hope the quality is decent. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, tech-wise, what people start doing with ChatGPT and the evolution around it. I think, I suspect there's going to be lots of good and bad that comes from it.
Yeah, I think on my end, I just, you know, for the year, I just want to play more games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of want to, obviously, I kind of want to see more kind of like AAA games from all parties. Obviously, more than interested to see, you know, what the Xbox guys, you know, have on their roadmap, because you know they really need it, and they've got a lot of studios. With Sony, I think you know, I'm probably just happy to see them do more of the same, but equally, I kind of want to see what their actual strategy is. Not this holding pattern they've got. As I've said before, I don't really believe that's what they're actually going to be doing, you know, going forward. So, you know, whatever the actual strategy, you know, what it is, live service, the cross-media, whatever the hell they're doing with Evo, apart from sitting on the cash it generates, you know, and what are they actually going to do with the premium service? Because to me, that premium service is just such junk. I've never seen such shit in my life.
If you look at what Sony are doing with like PlayStation Stars and digital collectibles, the quality of their app, the UI, the keep building on it, I fingers crossed. I reckon they'll have, as part of their premium service, they'll roll in Crunchyroll. They'll roll in some special access to some stuff for Evo. Maybe a couple of collectibles. Maybe at the moment you can't change the background on their PS5. I mean, it's fine. It works, but just take it to the next level. It, it'll,
Yeah.
mer
Well,
it'll mer
bring it, bring it
bring it
together.
together, and it'll mur it'll mur murder Xbox, and
It will murder everything
I've
out there. I
murder
mean,
and
it won't be just gaming, will it, at that point?
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just, where is it? Right, I mean, because the middle tier I would consider getting, but the highest level tier, my God, that just looks like a black hole for my money.
Yeah. Also, I was going to
Forget
mention.
about it.
I mentioned that there's this thing. There's PlayStation tournaments. They've featured. They've
Yeah,
announced.
they rolled it out.
They rolled it out
They
already.
rolled it
Yeah.
out.
So
Yeah,
you can.
that'll be interesting to see what they do with that,
Yeah.
right?
There's I think there's only like 5 or 6 games you can get involved with. But that's the amateur tournaments from home. That's cool.
Boom. Yeah, boom. And there's not been much publicity around it.
No. Yes, no.
Yeah. The other thing, I mean, like you guys mentioned PSVR too, and I gotta admit, that was one of the moments of 2022 that I didn't mention. Kind of want to see what happens. I mean, I'm really tempted. Yeah, I actually might get one, but again, even if I could only, and I don't even know, I don't know if this is available, but the last Star Wars Squadrons game,
Oh,
wouldn't it?
yeah.
If, even if I could only play that, I'll be somewhat happy. And I think a real kind of, I think, gauge on what kind of games we're going to see from Sony's first party with it is going to be the Horizon game. If that turns out to be just kind of some sort of short-lived experimental, experience, then I don't know. I might actually wait for a review, actually, kind of
Yeah,
what they're
this
thinking about
is
setting up
where
the thing.
that's why I'm completely sold on the hardware. I mean, there needs like someone said, there's an easy win with Half-Life Alyx. That's just waiting to.
Yeah, I don't know what. I mean, they got to. They must need to
Or
sign a deal with,
just the back catalog,
money
the
with
back catalog,
Barrett.
right? Of all the games that they had on PSVR 1, they need to make that kind of work. I know it's different kind of setup, but if they can port that stuff correctly, there's a lot of really good games up back there. They would be very useful on improved hardware.
Yeah, I mean, I do wish that they could have somehow made maybe some, if not all, of those games, backwards compatible. Because I know their physical limitations because of the two units work so differently. Yeah, but my God, you at least you had to load a software there, waiting to be exploited. Day one, you could have had a really good, PSVR version of the middle tier of PS Plus, waiting for gamers, but that didn't really happen. So, but let's see. I mean, those are, and I'm actually really interested to see what happens with Activision now, because that depending on what the outcome is, right, that's going to mean a few things. So, that's going to be interesting. All right, guys, I think we're done with this part of the podcast. So, let's move on to the next topic. Maybe we're saying goodbye, who knows?